on this podcast, it's revealed. For the breakdown left tonight, black and gold, we're taking flight. Every story, every fight, for the breakdown every night.
What's going on, Boiler Nation? It is Wednesday night, January 8th, 2025. Brand new episode of the Boiler Breakdown podcast streaming live on our Facebook page, on our YouTube channel, and on our Twitch channel. Hit that like button, hit that follow button, hit that subscribe button, hit that notification bell so you're notified every time we go live, every time we drop any other kind of content. I'm Tanner Lee, co-host Evan Webb in the house, ready to rock like usual. Webby, how's it going? How's your 2025 going so far?
That's been an interesting one. That's so far, just some experiencing some house issues and finding out the fun time it is to be a homeowner.
Always, never ending, never ending. Just when you're all right, we got everything better. Place. Yeah, been there.
Life comes at you fast, is what they say. Yeah. But other than that, been good. Been a good start for the Boilers for 2025. It's been fun. And it's been fun to watch the can't keep up with the portal for football.
Oh my God.
Kinda.
Which is a good thing. But man. Yeah,
shout out to our friend Grant for keeping a thread going on Knucklehead Central, for keeping things going on. But it's been cool to see, and a lot of intrigue, a lot of potential. But I think, you know, which I think that scares some Purdue fans just given what we went through this past year. But I think with the coaching staff we have in place, hopefully we see some different results.
Right. And I think that could be said for most programs.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you don't know what you're going to get until you get the people on the field, whether it's in spring or in the summer or in the fall, or maybe even until week one when pads are popping against an opponent. I mean,
yeah. I think what gives me a little more keeps me at ease is that it seems like at least a handful of these guys, obviously you have quite a few coming from UNLV, which was expected, but then you have some other guys coming from schools where some of these assistants came from. So at least there's some familiarity with them. So it's like, it's not just a speed date. Hey, we've never met this kid until January, until December 2024. Is he good enough for our football team? So that gives me some hope, but yeah, we'll just wait and see.
It's very true. Very true. But like you also hit on Boiler basketball in the hardwoods out to a 2-0 start in 2025, a 2-0 start in the, I like to call it the kickoff of the Big Ten season, but I mean, that's not the case anymore since we have two Big Ten games under our belt. And we had two Big Ten games under our belt in December, but got a road victory over Minnesota, then returned home and blew the doors off of a Northwestern team that's been a pain in Purdue's side the last couple seasons.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was both games, as we kind of talked about last week, kind of what made me a little nervous, just because, you know, I know Minnesota's not great, but, you know, it's a road game. You know, we didn't expect the barn to be the most energized atmosphere, which that can almost sometimes be, you'd think that'd be good thing for, you know, for as the away team, but sometimes I feel like that's almost worse because it's just, there's just no energy in the building whatsoever. But yeah, like it was a pretty bad first half, all things considered. And then they kind of turned it on late in the second half. But then that Northwestern game, it was another one that gave me pause just because of, you know, how they play defense and how they've defended Purdue the last couple of years. And just the, as you said, the pain they've been for this team. And I know our other co-host Andrew kind of said, man, I just hope we can just love for a blowout and just kind of keep the foot on the pedal. And we kind of like, yeah, it'd be great, but it's, you know, not going to happen. And lo and behold, he was right.
Yes, he was. But you go back to that Minnesota game, I was pretty down at halftime, to be honest. I know Purdue found themselves up a point, but I'm just sitting there shaking my head like, this team looks like they have no energy. They look like they're lethargic tonight, going through the motions. Like, is something going on behind the scenes we don't know about? I was really starting to question myself, which is a complete overreaction. Even if they would have probably lost the game, thank goodness they didn't. Even if they would have lost, you know, we always preach not overreacting on the podcast. And here I am, I'm starting to overreact. But they really clicked in the second half, kicked in the gear. Braden was phenomenal that night. Braden was phenomenal all week last week, which earned him his first career player of the week award for the Big Ten, which is hard to believe it took this long for him to get one, but Zach kind of hogged all those
for the last 3 years.
But Fletcher was phenomenal all week, also, especially at Minnesota. I mean, I know the game was already out of reach, but when he hit that fall away
bank,
I mean, you can do nothing wrong when you're hitting shots like that. So
when it's your day, it's your day.
I thought Caleb Furst had a great week.
Yeah.
Right. Some energy. Now, can he keep it going is the big question. Because and then that's one thing we haven't even hit on yet. Matt Painter made a change to the starting lineup. CJ
we kind of thought that maybe if they struggled last week, that's when we'd see it. But lo and behold, it was before the Minnesota game. I liked it. It was interesting to see. I thought if they were going to do it, I think we even said last year, I could see a first going in there for a Cam Heidi or something. I did not expect CJ right away going in for Miles as well. But Miles, I mean, he didn't score in the Minnesota game, but he played pretty well. I think he hopefully gave him some confidence. Obviously, he played really well against Northwestern. But overall, I thought he had a good week. Yeah, like you said, Caleb Furst was awesome. I mean, he's athletic for his. I mean, he's still a big dude. He's 6'10", which is, you know, seems small for Purdue standpoint, just given what we've had in size over the last decade. I think you've hit it on another podcast. I think he's definitely our best rebounder. And need to utilize that. Him and, Trey can space the floor a little bit. But it's not like we're not playing through Caleb, but he picks his spots. I think he's done a really good job this week. And like you said, can't keep it going against as the competition kind of starts to ramp up a little bit.
Yeah, because we've seen it in spurts throughout his career at Purdue. You know, he's had moments, and he's found himself in the starting lineup before. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, played his way kind of out of it. But like Brian Newbert, who does a great job over at Golden Black, he said on their latest podcast, you know, if he can't find it now, he's not going to. This is his senior year. So,
yeah.
So, but no, I thought, I don't really have complaints about anybody's performance really last week. I mean, I'd like to see Heidi and Colvin score more, have some shots go in, of course, which they both had a few friendly roles at Minnesota. Mm-hmm. But
maybe Colvin had a few home against Northwestern, so hopefully that can get him going a little bit. But
CJ Cox was aggressive. I thought Jakari Harris had a good week. So that's important, getting those guys going, getting their confidence going too. Because, like you said, it's going to ramp up. This week they got a trip to Piscataway tomorrow night at 6:00. One of those early evening tips at Jersey.
I assume it's probably to not coincide with the college football playoff. I assume it's probably why they did that
There's 2 6:00 tips tomorrow night in the Big Ten. There's a one later.
Okay.
Let's see here. What time is that other one at? There's 2 6s and an 8.
Oh, okay.
No. Purdue, Rutgers, Oregon, Ohio State, Washington, Michigan State. Mm. They travel to Jersey Mike's Arena, mm-hmm. aka or formerly known as, I should say, the Rack. It's always going to be the Rack to me, just like, you know, crypto.com. It's always going to be the Staples Center to me. Rogers Center, always going to be the Sky Dome to me, where the Blue Jays play. I could go on and on. There's so many I could list. But we'll get into that here in a bit. But do you have the box scores popped
up? I do. Yeah. So looking at the Minnesota games, obviously Purdue won by a 20-point margin, 81-61, led in scoring by Fletcher Lawyer with 24, who went 8 of 10 from the field, including 4 of 6 from 3, went 4 of 4 from the line, added 3 assists, no turnovers, 1 foul. Braden Smith had a 20-point game. 20 points on 17 shots, went 7 of 17 from the field. Also played 39 minutes, went 5 of 11 from 3, 1 of 2 from the line, added 6 boards, 10 assists. So we had a double-double, another one of those triple-double watches for Braden that we're all too familiar with now.
It's amazing to me that Purdue has not had one since Joe Barry Carroll. With all the good
which players. He had it with blocks. I didn't know that until he said it on the Northwestern broad. Holy crap, he got it with blocks. Trey Coffin-Rent added 17 points, 8 of 14 from the field, 1 of 2 from the line, 4 boards, 4 fouls. I know that was he had gotten foul trouble, and that was something that we just really can't afford. 1 assist, 1 turnover. Caleb Furst, 11 points, on played 31 minutes, 3 of 5 from the field, 5 of 6 from the free throw line, which is awesome. That's what, I mean,
yes,
what we need him to do. Added 6 boards, had 3 fouls, 1 assist, 1 block, no turnover. So really within our starting lineup, we only had 1 turnover than our whole starting lineup.
Yeah. That's going to win you a lot of games. That's going to win you a lot of games.
So 4 of our 5 starters scored double digits. CJ Cox did not score 0-2 from the field, but did grab 5 boards, which, hey, that's contributing something. Cam Heidi, 1 of 3 from 3 for 3 points. Jakari, 1 of 1 from 3 for 3 points. Miles Colvin had 2 points, was 1 of 4 from the field, 0 of 3 from 3, added 3 boards. And then Raleigh Burgess had 1 point, went 1 of 2 from the line, played 7 minutes. So out of everybody who played, Jakari and Raleigh played single-digit minutes. So, but Purdue for the game went 11 of 25 from 3, 44%, went 12 of 16 for 75% from the line, and was an even 50, 29-58 from the field, whereas Minnesota, man, they're just, they're not good.
And they should have had a Big Ten win the other night.
Oh, my God. It was funny just to watch it, like, and also be on Twitter at the same time, because, like, all the sickos were staying up for to watch Minnesota and Ohio State. But it ended up being an entertaining game.
Yes.
For all the wrong reasons. Minnesota should have had that game in regulation. Yep. They led with in scoring by Dawson Garcia. No surprise there. He had 20. Patterson, I cannot even pronounce his first name, had added 14, but they went, you know, they were under 50% from the field with 40%, were 4 of 17 from 3, and 7 of 16. And from the free throw line, which was for 43%, which is a common denominator in their loss against Ohio State, too. They were like 12 of 27 or something stupid like that. So free throw is going to really kill this team.
Well, and I know you hit on it earlier. There's no students, of course, at the barn. But, man, yeah, that was not a raucous environment by any means. And I've never been there. But from a lot of people that have been, say that's like the worst arena in the Big Ten. Just built weird.
It's like weird. It's built weird where you have to, like, I don't know, Brian, you ever said, like, you have to go upstairs to go downstairs. Like, it's, I think Wrigley Field does that too. So
yeah,
go figure, two crappy places.
Oh boy. That's not going to get me.
Purdue did out rebound them 34 to 31. Both teams even with 15 fouls apiece. Yeah. I mean, Purdue had only 2 fast break points, whereas Minnesota had 4. Purdue was outscored in the paint 34 to 28. Minnesota won in bench points 13 to 9. But Purdue did have 16 points off turnovers versus they only had 3. So,
yeah.
So,
Cameron Day on Facebook, did we finally find our starting lineup?
I think so. At least for the time being, we'll see. I mean, last year we had the same starting lineup for the whole season, but this year we've
worked
already
out
had
pretty well. Yeah.
Three or four already. But I think this one, trying to find the best pieces to go with our big three. And I think these are the guys who can do it. You know, obviously you want another ball handler, which I still don't think CJ is the best ball handler, but he's better than Fletcher. I think, has shown that he can get hot. I'd like to hopefully see that by the end of the year, him kind of, like, we've seen it against Alabama. He hit that really dumb fadeaway three,
He has spurts as a freshman where he's fearless.
Yeah, so hopefully we can continue to see that. As long as he doesn't turn the ball over, that's really all we can ask for. And then, like we talked about, Caleb, he's like probably our best rebounder, probably our best rim protector too at this point, just because of athleticism. So, I mean, I guess you can maybe throw, you know, Miles and Cam just from their athleticism, but we just haven't seen it really. More often than not, those guys are getting called for goaltending, but
it's not Willie Bird.
No, unfortunately, no.
Nope. And you know, going back to rebounding, I just think, you know, Purdue did a really good job this past week, and with how they, you know, it's all about effort with this team, because you don't have a Zach Edey or even going back for the Isaac Haas or AJ Hammonds out there that can take up space and get rebounds. I think Jacobson would have helped in that category, but he wouldn't have been the total solution either.
I don't think even Jason, we may win maybe one of the 4 losses.
That's
maybe
thinking,
and probably A&M, which is probably the one I want back the most, is the A&M game.
Because it's conference, but
yeah,
but I get what you're saying.
Yeah, that, yeah, I don't think, yeah, I think he, I mean, who knows? I mean, like, he, like I said, like, he, we saw obviously very little thing, very little,
right.
but he's just obviously with his size in terms of just weight, he was gonna get bullied a lot. Yeah. Hell, we saw it in the scrimmage against Creighton where Kalkbrenner like threw his body into him and Jacobson like almost went flying.
Yeah.
Which was, you know, senior, you know, COVID senior versus fifth year senior versus true freshman. But I don't think, as much as I'd like to have him from a shot blocking standpoint, I don't think he would be the total like, oh, this team goes from, you know, maybe Sweet 16 team to a Final Four team all of a sudden. I don't think that was ever going to be the case.
Do you think Cannon Catchings would have helped elevate Purdue?
That's a tough question. I think from a scoring standpoint, like he would have had another option, but I think that would have been outweighed by, you know, all the other things. Like, I don't know, I think he's a great defender. I think he kind of falls into the, and I haven't watched him at all. I just kind of based off what I see off social media and stuff. I feel like, and this could just be wrong, just assuming, but I feel like he's kind of in that Jaden Ivey defensive mode where it's like, I'm just going to rely on my athleticism to, like, I can get by because I'm so athletic to where if I do get behind a play, I can probably make up for it with a block shot or something, but that's not great when you start playing like the UConn's of the world and all that, because they'll make you pay for that. And just like from the stuff we've read about, like off the court stuff, like who knows, like, you know, if from what it seems like, I think Braden's hard to play with just from a, cause he's so competitive and he's just an absolute psycho in all the best ways. Like, I think sometimes that can be hard for guys to play with, which I mean, I get it. You see him out there, you know, still barking at teammates when they've messed up or something's gone wrong. It's like, you wonder, like, with someone like Cannon, you know, not take lightly to that of like, you know, who you talking to, like, I'm potentially a one and done, like,
yeah,
who knows. Yeah. And like, if things don't go well, like,
yeah,
would things fall apart? But it's right. Yeah, it's a lot of questions, and yep, we'll never know.
Yep.
But
yep. But and after that went up at the barn, Purdue returned at Mackey Sunday in an afternoon game. You know, they like to give Purdue these Sunday afternoon games during NFL season.
Yeah.
I gripe about. But so I was totally prepared. I was preparing myself for just an awful sports day. I was preparing myself for a Purdue to Northwestern loss, then the Broncos to lose to the Chiefs backups and miss the playoffs. And I was just gonna you probably wouldn't have seen or heard from me this week on the podcast. I would have had to have a fill in. But no, it was a good sports day. The Purdue easily took care of business, Broncos as they should, easily took care of the Chiefs backups, and it was a good day. I'm still trying to get used to those. It happened too often. But
I wasn't there, but it sounded like Mackey had a good crowd.
My dad got to go. He said it was good on Sunday. Yeah, yep.
You know, Central Indiana was getting hit with some pretty gnarly. Yeah. Here in Indy, we got hit with, like, I think it was recorded about 7.8 inches. So I know West Lafayette didn't get nearly as much. But still, like, that affects travel from people coming from Indy and of the similar areas. So I was a little worried about, could that, you know, impact the attendance, but it seemed to be, Mackey seemed to be rocking.
Yeah, seemed to be rocking. Stepped on them early. Didn't take the foot off the gas. I mean, the score ended up being closer than the game really was.
Oh, yeah.
That was due to that freshman Northwestern kind of got hot late. But that was nice to – I mean, the last three halves might have been the three best halves Purdue's played.
I think definitely we kind of, I posted on Twitter, like, that was probably the best defensive game Purdue had.
Oh, yeah.
That was awesome to watch. You know, when you had Brooks Barnheiser and Martinelli coming in, I think it's his name, Martinelli, right?
Martinelli.
Close enough. Were, I think, like, two of the top three scores in the Big Ten coming into that game. They averaged like 40 points combined, and Purdue held them to like 24, and most of that was late in the game. So, like, it was like 24 points, and it took like 22 shots to get there or something crazy. I'll look at the box right here soon. But took it to him, was physical, literally knocked Barnheiser's fake teeth out, which I thought was
– it was going to be physical. You knew
Barnheiser
was
going to be physical. Collins did what Collins does. That's when I was talking to my dad after the game, because he was there. He was – usually when I'm there, I'm the one yelling at refs and coaches, but my dad said he was pulling to me and was yelling at Collins because he just would not stop. And there was the one play, you know, Andrew texted our group chat, my dad, because we're right behind the visitor bench up about a couple rows, but it's like Fletcher got like like nailed and fell to the ground and the ref wasn't watching because he was talking to Collins on the bench. It's like, stop it. But yeah, it was nice to not have an overtime game with those guys, because it was nice to not see Boo Booey walking out to the court, because that guy was a killer.
Yep. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Glad we don't have to go there.
Yeah.
Glad we don't have to play Welsh Ryan Arena. And on the flip side, I wish we got Minnesota at Mackey, but we don't. So that seems to be a common occurrence early on. We're playing a lot of our one and done teams.
Yeah. Played Penn State already. Played Maryland. Yeah. Everything we've played is all four games so far have been a one and done.
Yep. That's and weird. Nebraska's going to be a one and done.
Yep.
I don't know about Rutgers. I think they're twice.
I think.
I'm almost positive. Off the top of my head.
Yep. Rutgers at Mackey is the second to last game.
But then I know Oregon and Washington are one and done, of course.
Yep. Yep.
So yeah, that's crazy. But you want to go over the box score real quick
He was led in scoring again by Braden Smith, 22 points, 8 of 16 from the field, 3 of 8 from 3, 3 of 3 from the line. Another triple-double watch, 6 rebounds, 7 assists. Did have 5 turnovers.
He's got to get one this year, right?
He's got to get one at some point. 2 steals, like I said, the 5 turnovers, so I got to clean that up a little bit. Trey Coffin-Ren added 12, 6 of 10 from the field. 6 boards, 4 assists, 2 turnovers, 2 fouls. 8
punches taken in the ribs.
CJ, who went scoreless in the last game, 12. He was the last person to score double digits, 4 of 6 from the field, 2 of 3 from two, sorry, 4 from 3, 2 of 2 from the line, added 8 boards. So actually he was our leading rebounder.
Yeah, that was big.
He got some late, which obviously he added, but 1 assist, 1 turnover. So again, nice to see him not turn the ball over being in the starting lineup. Fletcher, his first off game in a wild, 9 points, 3 of 7 from the field, but we didn't need him. Only took 1 3. Wow. I didn't realize that while watching the broadcast.
Made that a point of emphasis to take away his threes.
Yeah. 3 of 3 from the line, 2 boards, 3 fouls, 1 steal. First added 5 points, 2 of 4 from the line. Or in the field, 1 of 2 from the line, 6 boards, 1 assist, 1 steal. Miles added 7 points, 2 of 5 from the field, 2 of 4 from 3, 1 of 2 from the line, 1 board, 1 assist, 1 turnover, 1 block, 1 steal. Raleigh added 6, 2 of 3 from the field, 1 of 1 from 3, 1 of 2 from the line, added a rebound. That's something I'd like to maybe see him rebound a little bit better. Jakari played the most of any bench player, played 17 minutes, added 4 points, 1 of 3 from the field, which was that kind of steal, went coast, not steal, but he got the rebound and just took it coast to coast. 1 from 3, 2 of 2 from the line, 2 boards, 1 turnover and 1 steal. Then Big Willie Iceberg was the last person to score, 2 points in 3 minutes.
I couldn't even told you he scored. I think the game by that chant. That time the Broncos were kicking off. So,
and then Cam played 12 minutes, did not attempt a shot. His only stat was the fact that he played 12 minutes and had 4 fouls.
Yeah, not a good outing for him.
No, so. Brian Waddell played 5 minutes. Sam King played 1 minute. Jack Lust played 1 minute, and they all didn't score. So the Northwestern, as we kind of talked about, they were led in scoring by – they had 4 guys in double figures. Burke Spiners added 11. But on 15 shots, Jalen Leach had 11 points, 4 of 8 from the field, 3 of 7 from 3. Martinelli had 10 points, 2 of 8 from the field, 0 of 2 from 3, 6 of 7 from the line. And then, that Angelo Caravino, whatever, had 19.
Yeah, he's got to be good.
8 of 14 from the field, 3 of 7 from 3. We forced 13 turnovers. Purdue only had 11. From 3, Purdue shot 8 of 20 for 40% from 3. They shot 7 of 25 for 20% in most of those. I mean, 5 of the 7 came in the second half. They went 2 of 14 in the first half. From the line, Purdue was 15 of 18 for 83%. They were 8 of 12 for 66. It's 66.6 receding.
2 of those misses were back-to-back, so everybody got French fries.
Yeah.
Question for you. Where are those fries from? Because they never say.
They say at the game.
Do they?
I cannot remember.
They never say on TV or anything.
Yeah. They shot 23 of 60 from the field, 38%. Purdue was again 50%, 28 for 55. Purdue out rebounded for the second straight game, 36 to 31. Let's see, your points in the paint, 30. They had 26. Purdue added 19 bench points. They had 29. Purdue 21 points off turnovers. They had 14. Purdue had 13 second chance points. They had 15. Purdue led wire to wire. No lead changes.
Beautiful. That doesn't happen very often.
No, it does not.
No. Two good wins. Starting off a month, which we said last week, we thought Purdue needs to go at least 7-2, probably yep. to really be in the hunt going into February. And got a road game and a home game this week. Like I said, going to Jersey Mike's Arena tomorrow night to take on the Rutgers Scarlet Knights, which, looking back in the series history, this is from February 12, 2015 through February 22nd of 2024. Purdue is 12-5 in the series, 6-2 at home, 4-3 on the road, 3-game win streak in this series. The last matchup was in West Lafayette in February. Purdue won 96-68. Before that, they had a 68-60 win in Piscataway, and before that was a 70-65 win in Chicago
in the Big Ten tournament.
So, it's a different foe, different looking Rutgers team, I should say. There's no more Cliff Amore. There's no Cam Spencer, even though
they've already seen Cliff this year.
yes, saw Cam Spencer last year in a different uniform. What's McKay? Is not there? Was it that his name? McKay.
I can't remember.
With a headband. Kid with a headband.
Yeah. Oh yeah, he played at Washington last year. Yeah, whatever his name is. Yep.
So all those guys, the older Harper's not there. Geo Baker's been gone for a while. Who's that other? Sanders. Been gone for a while. But they do have two bona fide freshman studs.
Yeah, arguably.
You got to see one live last week against Indiana.
Yeah, I was hoping to see both of them, but that was a bummer. So I want my money back.
I'm sure he'll be fully healthy come tomorrow.
Yeah. The other being Dylan Harper and Ace Bailey. Dylan Harper, they're both there's talk that Dylan can challenge Cooper Flagg for the number one pick in the draft. I think it's going to be Cooper Flagg no matter what. It's probably going to go Dylan Harper, Ace Bailey, 2 and 3.
Crazy.
Which is nuts because, Rutgers is not great.
Yeah, you got that much talent, and their record's 8-6. Yeah. But like you said, they didn't pay to keep some of the other core guys they've had that have really helped Pikel establish a winning culture in Piscataway, to which I will say I don't know if anybody in the country has done much of a better job over the last decade than Pikel. Because when Rutgers got into the Big Ten, I know he wasn't the coach at the time, they were so damn bad at basketball.
Yeah. I remember awesome. 2015, I think that was the year, one of those years, maybe 2016, we went up by 50 up there, and it was who was the kid?
In 15 and 16 season, we won 107-57.
Yeah, and then who was it? Came off the bench in 10 minutes, had a double-double. He ended up transferring. Jaquiel Taylor had a double.
Oh, there's a name I forgot
about.
It was
10 minutes. I think it was him. But
yeah, I think you're right.
Yeah, it was wild. I remember watching that game. Andrew and I were watching, I think, in B-dubs near our apartment at the time. It's a place that has not been kind. But this is definitely not a Rutgers team that we're used to seeing over the years because of, we're used to seeing with them get up in your face defensively. It's going to be a slugfest, probably, 60-56 is going to be the final score more than likely. But that's definitely not the way that this team has been playing. Like I said, they've got those two bona fide, as Dick Vitale would call Diaper Dandy, Cameron Day, just Kiel Taylor, War number 23. Yep. I can't remember where he transferred, but he played.
Hofstra.
That's right. He played pro somewhere for a little bit. I think he
was on the,
he's on Minimaki
team.
Yeah. It's going to be interesting. Harper's been out. Like you mentioned, I was at the IU Rutgers game last Hall with my wife and sister-in-law, who's going to be a freshman there next year. Dylan did not play. He was sick. I saw Ace Bailey go for 38, 39, which was wild, but that's literally all they had. Not a single other guy was doing anything. He's definitely one of those guys where he's just stupid. He's 6'10", can handle the ball. So, I've heard it before, and it makes sense that he's probably – his comp is Kevin Durant, just with how big he is, his build, how he can handle the ball, his scoring capability. If he can turn it on defensively, he's gonna make a ton of money at the next level.
Sure, he's making a good amount right now.
He's already got a Nike deal going on. Him and Harper both do, which is weird because they're wearing Nike shoes.
I think they're both top five in the Big Ten in NIL money.
Oh, I'm sure. I'm surprised they
were top three. I think they're top three. Yeah, they might be one, two. Heck, I don't know.
Yeah, Dylan is a big guard who can get downhill fast. He's just a score he can get, which makes me nervous. Just being able to contain a dribble, but he was out the IU game because of sick, and then he did play against their game against Wisconsin, but he barely played. And when he was out there, he was just kind of just standing around because you could tell he just did not feel good.
Oh, I'm sure he's ready to go for tomorrow.
Yeah. So that'll be one thing to monitor. Outside of that, I mean, it sucks for them because it's definitely their probably most hyped season of all time, just given the talent. And then they've lost to Princeton. They've had some real stinkers, and their schedule is not an easy one in the Big Ten. Like, they could be like, there's a real possibility they could miss the Big Ten tournament, which is a thing now where
bottom three. Yep.
Bottom three. So it's, but, you know, it's a road game. I have no idea about their students being back or not. Obviously, they've been one of the teams in the last handful of years that's had Purdue's number. Well, obviously, we've got a 3-game winning streak, but still one of those games where I don't feel good about it going into it. Pykel's a hell of a coach. I love Pykel. He's probably, he might be my second favorite coach in the Big Ten.
Yeah, I got nothing against him.
If you have to pick one, I had nothing against him. Like I said, he's doing a great job with just a crappy situation out there. But yeah, it's probably gonna be a dogfight. You hope like someone like Braden is excited for the matchup going against someone like Harper, because it's, you know, Harper's the, again, top five pick, and you know, Braden's not even getting, you know, yes, he's the preseason Big Ten player of the year, but he's not even getting, you know, mentions when it comes to NBA potential. So hopefully that inspires him to just go out and kick some ass.
Yeah, and that's 6:00, Fox Sports 1 tomorrow for anybody. That's of course, wanting to watch the game and didn't know what channel and time it starts. Before I get into the series history against Nebraska, you mentioned you were at Assembly Hall last week for the IU-Rutgers game. I want to hear about your first experience at Assembly Hall. What'd you think of Assembly Hall, the Hall of Halls, whatever you want to. As a basketball junkie, what was your unbiased
opinion? Yeah. It was cool. It was cool to be there. Cool to check off another venue. Not that I've been to a ton. As much as basketball as I watch, I've only been to a handful. I've been, obviously, to Mackey more times than I can count. I've been to Hinkle a few times. I've been to Notre Dame's arena two decades ago at this point.
Yep.
And that's really about it outside of like NBA arena. So I haven't really been to a lot of college arenas.
Illinois for a concert.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. So it was cool to be there. It feels huge, which is wild just to think, because like it. I mean, obviously it's a bigger Mac, but it holds like only like 2,300 more, which I don't think is that many extra seats. It's not like it's going from like Hinkle to Hinkle's like what, 8,000 maybe, and Mackey's 14,876, I think, but whereas Assembly's like 17,222, I think is what I looked up. But it just feels like you take escalators up to get to our section, which I thought was wild. We had great seats. I didn't get a chance to walk around as much as I'd like to, just to check it out. But it seemed like a really nice arena. You know, it was clean. It felt clean, which was always nice. You never know. Some of these places, heard stories of other arenas that are just like feel dirty and dingy and crappy. But this seemed like they want to take care of it. You know, one thing that's definitely different than Mackey is they've got their get your individual seat back, so that's kind of helps it feel more like a NBA type style arena. If you've been to like Bankers Life, or wow, not Bankers Life, but whatever,
Gamebridge.
Wow, I'm blanking.
At least they're close. So
that's true. Yeah. Yeah. It was kind of surreal to be there. So just like, wow, I've watched so many games up here. Now I'm actually here. Felt gross. From an environment standpoint, I mean, again, this is where my bias comes in, but man, I thought it really sucked, which I get. Like, and I told you guys, like, I totally get it's a break game, you know, no students, which obviously is the lifeblood of college basketball environments. But I just go back to growing up, and even like as an adult and recently being told, hey, this is the best place to watch a basketball game. Doesn't matter who they play, when it's played, whether the team's good or bad, like this is the best place to watch a game. And this was like, and I said, this is not a compliment. That felt like an NBA game. That environment was very stale. Even like when the team ran out, it felt very anticlimactic. Again, this is all super biased, but it's just, I was trying not to be biased, but I was like, I was trying to like find ways to like talk it up. But I was like, you know, the crowd never really got super loud, or, and like I said, there's, you know, those moments in Mackey where everybody's up on their feet cheering, like, you know, for on a little spurt. And like, it felt like maybe half the arena was doing that. Everybody was kind of sitting on their hands. A lot of empty seats. There was almost like 4,000 empty seats is what they, when they announced the final, final attendance. So yeah, it was kind of, I mean, it was cool to be there. Let's say I was bummed that Harper didn't play. That's kind of why I wanted to go to that game, which is to see him and Ace Bailey play. But yeah, I mean, overall, like I said, I was at the Toledo game at Mackey just a couple days before that, and Mackey was way louder, way more into it than that place was. And just kind of, like I said, it kind of felt like an NBA game. Like, the announcer talked a lot, it felt like, about, you know, everything. Like, even after the game, he was reading all these stats, and I was like, just like, let the band play, man. This, like, it just kind of felt like, it was like the game ended, and then it was just, we all just kind of like sat there. And then when, by the time the band played, it was just like, whereas I feel like at Purdue, like after a game, you're excited, the one and the band's playing, like it's all going, and then like it just kind of keeps it going. And I just didn't have that feeling.
But yeah, I don't think it's been that great of a environment since the Crean era, honestly.
I agree. Yeah. I mean, obviously, no doubt it gets, you know, I've heard it's, you know, electric for like when Kansas came to town, or obviously when Purdue comes to town. It's like, but I also kind of, like I told you guys on Texas, like any arena, any respectful arena, especially in the Big Ten, can be that when a big team, when a top ranked team comes to town or your rival comes to town. But I think the true test is, you know, Tuesday night, 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock game against Rutgers or Penn State or somebody who's not like a foe, like a big time foe. Like that's kind of the true test to see, like, how does this arena, has it truly act? And that's why I just feel like Mackey's kind of stands above it right now.
Yep.
I'm sure you can definitely get there. But yeah, you could, I thought it was funny, their intro video featured, like, you know, they obviously, before the team runs out, there's, you know, there's hyping everything up, and then it includes video bits of like Mike Davis and Tom Crean talking about how great this place is. I'm like, what, you guys fired them? Like, what are we doing? Like, I guess at one point.
I suppose one led them to a national championship runner up, the other one did lead them to a Big Ten championship, but
yeah.
Yeah.
I get it. I thought it was funny. But I mean, it was a good experience. Like, my wife was asking me after, like, did you have fun? I was like, I felt bad. Like, I felt the game also just kind of sucked. Like, it just wasn't a good game. Like, wasn't well played. Like, and it was tight for the first half. Second half was, you know, Indiana built a lead and kind of kept them at arm's length. Not that, I mean, it still got tight a few times, but it just never felt like, even like when, like, watching other teams' games, if it gets tight, I'll kind of get that, like, oh man, here we go. I never once like had like, oh man, this is like, here we go, like this is coming this way, or like, I just like was just like, this game just kind of feels very stale. Like, I feel, like I said, it felt like an NBA game, like, for a point where it's just like, if it gets close in the fourth quarter in the last 5 minutes, then it'll probably get, you know, really amped in here, but it just never felt that way.
Yeah. Well, good recap.
But, I'm super recap. Biased, though.
Good recap. Looking ahead to the Nebraska game on Sunday, it's a Sunday nooner on the Big Ten Network. Going back in series history, which goes from February 22nd, 2012, to January 9th of 2024, Purdue's 14-5 in this series. So this is a series that has treated Purdue pretty well. 8-0 at home, 5-4 on the road. So one of those five losses was before the 2012 to 2024 stats.
Mm-hmm.
So that's weird how PurdueSports.com has started to do that. Looks like the overall, but then it doesn't go all the way back anymore. Last year's matchup saw Nebraska actually get the win in Lincoln over Purdue, 88-72. Before that, Purdue had a 4-game win streak in the series. But I feel good about this one. Mm-hmm. Nebraska, I thought, was going to get a pretty good road win last night at Iowa. They're up 20 at one point. Iowa fought back, tied the game, took it out in overtime, and won by 10 points.
Yeah.
And that's what happens when you let them die by the three. They can catch up quick, and they can also dig themselves in holes that they can't get out of. So I don't know much about Nebraska this year, to be honest.
Yeah, I don't either. I mean, I've watched a little bit of them. So I watched a game against Indiana.
No, Mast is hurt. He got hurt before the season.
Bryce Williams is their guy. He kind of, they kind of go as he goes, I feel like. And they've got little, the coach's son.
Hoiberg.
Hoiberg. Yeah, little Hoiberg is in there. He's kind of a little pest out there.
Sure.
But yeah, other than that, like, I don't, they do have, oh crap. I'm struggling tonight. The kid from Wisconsin who transferred, he's from Indiana. White kid.
I can picture him. I can't think of
him. Yeah. I am blanking on his name, but he transferred there. But yeah, outside of that, like I said, it's kind of a similar Nebraska team as we've seen the last, you know, the last couple of years. They're going to shoot a lot. And you just hope that it's not their night.
I know they had that one kid. I'm struggling with names too tonight. I don't know if my brain just tired or what, but they had that one kid that transferred to A&M because I didn't know A&M had him until we were playing them. And I'm like, oh yeah, I remember him. But I feel good about this one. I think even though tomorrow night's going to be tough against Rutgers, I feel good about Purdue's chances to go 2-0
this week.
And I really think Purdue can stack up a nice little win streak. The West Coast will be difficult in for reasons in itself, but no reason they can't get Washington, Oregon too, and then you turn home to a 3-game home stretch there to close out January. So this team could get hot if they play well enough. If they take care of the ball, I think that's the biggest thing, turnovers. So, are you going to be in attendance Sunday?
Don't know yet. I'm trying to figure that out. So
okay, I don't know how much of this game I'll be able to watch at all.
Is that when the Broncos play?
The Broncos have a 1 o'clock playoff game, first time in 9 years. So I'm not going to miss any of that. So I don't know. And we got my wife's grandmother, who's in her 90s. We got a birthday lunch for her early on Sunday. So I don't know how much of the Purdue game I'll actually get to watch at all.
Yeah.
So, but I'll be following along either way. And maybe I'll have to do what you did for the Minnesota game and record on YouTube TV and watch it back. Assuming we win. If we lose, I don't want to watch it.
Yeah.
One of our friends is a big Nebraska football fan, and he will watch back losses even. I don't know how he does it.
Yeah, I don't feel like doing that.
I don't know how he does it. Could you imagine sitting through all the losses for Purdue football and watching them back this year?
No, I didn't even watch some of the losses like live. I got turned off a couple of games early.
Hell, I was there and didn't even watch it live.
Yeah, I think my last game was like the Nebraska game in person.
Yeah,
I was able. Some I couldn't make it to, some I just decided not to go.
Yeah.
For one reason or another. But yeah, it was tough.
I got my voicemail today. I missed the call of John Purdue rep trying to give me the re up, which you got till March. So I got time. Got time. But I encourage everybody out there that loves Purdue football to go ahead and renew if you haven't already. Coach Odom and staff and all the players need our support. You gotta stick through the good times and the bad times, I've always said. So any other thoughts on basketball before we switch gears and talk a little football?
No, so hopefully they can go 2-0 before the West Coast trip, kind of build some out there. I don't think, you know, Washington's the hardest place going to play. They gave Illinois a little bit of
9:30 Eastern time start next Wednesday night.
Whew. So yeah, it's going to be it's you know, travel. Who knows? I mean, we saw Maryland go out there and kind of lay an egg on the West Coast, so you just don't want that to be.
Saw Michigan go to UCLA and smack them last night. So
yep. So who knows? Yeah, just this week for time.
Yep. I agree. Let's go 2-0 this week. And before we talk about some transfer portal news, let's pay some bills. As we let you know, one of the great sponsors of the Boiler Breakdown podcast, which is Mad Mushroom. They've been a sponsor of ours for the last 3 or 4 years now. Great sponsor. And they've been serving Boilermakers since 1993. They're located in the heart of West Lafayette, and they're well known as the home of the original cheese sticks. But whenever Evan, Andrew, or myself visit, we like to sit down and have an ice cold beer while trying out their latest pizza of the month, which their first pizza of the month for 2025, their pizza of the month for January is the Greek gyro pizza. It's kind of a tongue twister there. Garlic and herb sauce, gyro meat, onions, black olives, and feta and mozzarella cheeses, finished with tomatoes and cucumbers and help me out here, tzatziki sauce drizzle. I need to practice that. starting at just $14 next time you're in town, whether it's on Sunday for the game, maybe you're going back, maybe you're a college student, you're moving back in this weekend, or you're a parent helping your kid move back in, getting your kid settled back in, whatever the case may be, next time you're in West Lafayette or Lafayette, tell them the Boiler Breakdown sent you for $5 off any order over $20. And any Boiler Breakdown listener or viewer can also use the coupon code BREAK5, that's all caps, BREAK5, to claim your discount online at madmushroom.com. That's Mad Mushroom. Feed your head. Get some pizza, get some cheese sticks, get some grinders, get some wings, get some beer if you're being responsible and there in person. There you go. Can't go wrong with anything from Mad Mushroom, and we're proud that they are a sponsor for the Boiler Breakdown 2024 and 2025. Transfer portal. Like you said at the beginning of the pod, hard to keep up with. Purdue's literally added somebody from every position, I think.
Yeah.
Some positions more than others. We've had a run of wide receivers here of late. I think we've added five in the portal. We've had a run on offensive linemen. Three quarterbacks. Didn't think we'd take three quarterbacks in the portal, but here we are.
It's probably going to be our, like, all the, every quarterback we have on roster next year is going to be, isn't new to the team, because sounds like Bennett Meredith may just graduate and then move on. So, which would be the last quarterback on the roster.
So you'll have a sophomore quarterback, a redshirt freshman quarterback, a true freshman that's got a redshirt. And then I think another redshirt freshman.
Yeah, I think there's two guys with 4 years old. I think three guys with 4 years technically, and then one guy with three.
It's gonna be a young quarterback room, but But you know, it's I like the chances they've taken out there with Malachi Singleton from Arkansas and EJ Colson from UCF. I think both of them have promising futures, but I get it. I get the gripe of a lot of Purdue fans. Why can't we get somebody experienced? Well, got to pay a lot. Got to pay a lot to get an experienced quarterback. And then pay even more for a good experienced quarterback.
Yeah.
So we'll see what those guys can do. It seems like there's a common thread here, though, that they're dual threat quarterbacks. They can run and pass. And if you've seen Coach Odom's tweets, especially today, talking about the Boilermaker statue, seen it outside his office and how building a tough, smart, hardworking team – I just keep thinking, run the football. That's all I keep hearing in my brain. So added a running back from Virginia Tech to go along with Maccabee and Merriweather. So run to set up the pass.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm excited about it.
They added a receiver from Charlotte who scored a touchdown against IU. So he scored more than the entire Purdue football team against Indiana this year. So kudos.
As much.
I thought we only scored. I thought we didn't score against Indiana or –
We scored a field goal. No, we scored a field goal. You're right.
Yep.
Yeah, we scored a field goal. I think we scored seven. That was Notre Dame.
Yep.
Yeah, you're right.
Easy to get them confused.
So he did score more. Yeah. One was the worst loss in school history. The other was second.
Really?
So, but like you said, it's hard to tell if these guys are going to pan out or not. And, you know, some of them have come from big schools. Got a wide receiver from Tennessee. That was like a top 50 recruit coming out of high school. Got an edge rusher from Michigan. Taking actually multiple guys from SEC schools. I know that probably gives Purdue fans PTSD from the Georgia four last year, but every player is different.
Yep. So, anything else? Again, I think, again, coaching matters. So what
can 100%
this staff do with them? Yeah, I'm curious to see, you know, some of the guys who did stay who were transfers, like who maybe didn't do a whole lot. No, guys like Morset, he was a transfer, right? Yeah, he was a transfer.
I believe he's staying.
Yeah, he's staying.
CJ Madden, who got injured three games in.
You know, can Joey Tonona find the field this year? Yep. Hopefully, you know, guys like that who, you know, maybe didn't do a whole lot because no one did a whole lot this past season. You know, can they take a step up, take a step forward?
There was a guy that got into portal today from Purdue that I thought he was out of eligibility, Antonio Stevens.
Yeah,
I thought he had already played, but I guess the COVID year when he got hurt didn't count. Then he redshirted in 2021. So technically he played 22, 23, 24. Technically, I guess, would have another year eligibility, which really confuses me then for Hudson Card's case. Why is he done? Why does he not saying he would even stuck at Purdue, but why didn't he have another year of eligibility if he wanted it? If 2020 doesn't count, he's supposedly redshirted that year. So yeah. That shouldn't count against him. And then if 2020 doesn't count, then he took a redshirt in 2021, which they say they played 22, 23,
24.
Or maybe he supposedly redshirted in 2020, and then I don't know. I don't know. The COVID stuff's got me so screwed up. But either way, he's not going to be back at Purdue next year is what I'm saying. But, Antonio Stevens in the portal today. Don't know if that was a case where he's waiting to see how certain things play out, or maybe the staff told him they didn't want him. I don't know. Maybe he saw the safeties that came in, didn't want to compete. I don't know. I have no idea.
Yeah.
No
idea. Yeah, we'll see. But yeah, there's obviously, you know, the portal's technically closed, so no guys can go in outside of like guys
grad transfer. Like he would be. Like, yeah.
And then I think also like guys like for UNLV who your coach left, they get like 30 days and all that. But there's still a few guys out there that I know Purdue fans are watching, especially from the UNLV side. So kind of keep an eye on that. But yeah, it's just kind of seems like every day there's someone popping up and all of a sudden trying to find and do a deep dive to figure out.
We've added 26 or 27 guys. And I would say by the time summer fall camp rolls around, it'd be close to 40.
Yeah.
Would be my guess.
Yeah.
Which is crazy.
Probably need a complete overhaul. Yeah. It's just kind of
is what it is.
Today's age. Yep.
Yep. It's called football in 2025, especially when you have a coaching change.
Yeah.
And speaking of that, Ryan Walters officially has been announced as a defense coordinator in Washington. So Purdue will see him when they go out to Seattle in November. So be interesting. I'm not surprised he got a job. Surprised he got that level of job so quick.
Yeah. Yeah. I thought if he was getting a power four job, it was going to be as like a defensive backs coach.
Yes, I agree.
Position coach, not a full-fledged coordinator. So, I mean, good for him. Like, hope he does well, except for when we play him. Well, kind of seemed like a good dude.
It would, and this might get me a lot of heat for saying this. It wouldn't shock me if he does well as a DC and he gets I'm not saying a power four job necessarily, but another head coaching position if he does decent. It wouldn't shock me because a lot of times you see it, particularly in the NFL, a lot of times guys for whatever reason don't do well their first time around, whether it was they weren't ready or just whatever the case may be, didn't get a little owner. Then they go away and be a coordinator or a position coach. Then when they get their next shot, they do pretty good. Bill Belichick failed his first time around. Pete Carroll failed his first time around. They turn out to do pretty well for themselves. So
So we'll see.
Coaches are out on the road recruiting right now. Mm-hmm. Quarterback's coach was at every West Lafayette High School yesterday, posting selfies with our coaches, which was cool. Yeah. Cool to see. So,
yeah, they definitely got to take care of the local places of town, which this maybe the previous staff did a lot. So it's nice to see that those guys are getting out, at least like again, just being there, being even if it's just like a consultant or someone. Just
that's one thing I will say. I thought the Brahm staff always did a good job of.
Yeah, just being
they seen. couldn't do worse than the staff they're taking over for. So.
No, it's hard to do that. Yeah, we'll see kind of how the 2020 how the rest of this class shakes out of this 2025 high school class, because pretty small. I know it's always going to be pretty small anyways, but we'll see kind of how all that happens. So
yeah, I think I'm interested to see if Gorin ends up committing.
Yeah.
Yeah, February. I'm trying to look at my calendar. I don't know what day it is. Like 8th or 9th, I want to say.
Yeah.
I think. So this is the next signing period. But it's crazy how signing day doesn't even matter anymore because of the portal. Okay, I misspoke. It matters. It's not doesn't matter to the magnitude it used to.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So, yeah. But we'll keep our eye on things and we'll try to keep everybody updated every week. And I will say this. I'm not like our other co-host, Andrew. I'm not ready for even though I love football season overall and just football in general, I'm not there yet, but I am more intrigued for spring ball this year.
Oh, 100%.
Than I have been in a long time just because there's so many questions going in.
Yeah. 100%. I'm right there with you.
Yep. So, well, Webby, you got a good looking shirt on. Purdue Pete Duncan the basketball. Where'd you get that shirt and where can everybody get one just like it at?
This is one of my first shirts I ever bought from the shop. If you're in and around the Indianapolis area, definitely try and stop in. They've been making hometown apparel since 2011. Started out in, like a lot of small companies do, kind of in a garage. They've now built up to where they've got three brick and mortar locations in the Indianapolis area, one in Carmel, one in Broderpool, one in downtown Indy, Boilermaker owned. So we always love supporting the Boilermaker owned companies, especially here in the state. But if you can't make it to Indy, or if the snow got in your way right now, you can always go online, go to theshopindy.com, use promo code BREAK all caps, and you will get 25% off your entire order.
Yeah, they got a three-peat conference champ shirt. They got a pre-peat 90 stonewash, which is online only. So definitely take advantage of our discount code there. Mm-hmm. They got a Boilermaker Arch P crew neck.
Yeah, they're a big fan of the true old gold. And that was Alex talked about when I originally emailed or interviewed him, was that he loves the original old gold. He's not a big fan of the current Purdue Vegas.
He's like B-Dowd on Boilersports.
Yeah, he loves the old gold. So. Yep.
Yeah, but they got a lot of good looking shirts here. The basic tee still, basic logo tee still sold out.
That was it. I found that one. I could not get it online. I had to go in store for that one. So,
and you got this one right, the basketball script.
It is super soft. It's super comfortable. It kind of reminds me of like a dry fit kind of material, kind of stretchy. I love it. It's one of my favorite things I have right now.
Yeah, I got my wife a tumbler from the shop for Christmas that she uses every week, maybe multiple times a week. I don't know. She drinks a lot of coffee, so she goes through a lot of tumblers. Maybe I shouldn't share this, but I'm going to share it because can't take it back now. We got a free shirt with the order, so I'm sure we got somebody else's order.
Yeah.
So she not only got a tumbler, she got a Indiana basketball, as in the Pacers. Yep. Not the university t-shirt that she likes to wear to bed. And she talks about all the time how soft the material it is, which she has other stuff from the shop too. But I think that was her first t-shirt, I think, from the shop, or at least t-shirt of that kind of material. So,
I've worn the shirt for years. I've washed it a ton. And it still fits really well. It feels super soft. And they just make good quality stuff.
They do. I wear this hat quite a bit, especially during football season. And they don't have this exact hat anymore, but they have one like it in gold with a black rope, and then they got some others pretty darn similar. So go to theshopindy.com, use promo code BREAKDOWN for 25% off, like Evan said, and you will not be disappointed. All right, Webby. Well, let's keep this train rolling this week, and let's boiler up, hammer down, beat the Scarlet Knights, and beat the Cornhuskers.
Boiler up.